You're listening to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB. Practical know-how to help your farm business.
Hello, welcome to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB. Looking out of the window, the grey sky of a December day makes me think I'll stay put. Staying put, though, is not an option if you manage a business. Looking ahead, particularly when the economic climate is as equally grim as the weather, is a big ask. Who and what do you look to? I'm John Bates, and today we're looking forward and planning for 2023, with guests on the podcast discussing business management and what can be done to drive real change and financial results on farm. Monitor Farms have been running for over a year in the AHDB Pork Network, working with pig farmers and the Pork Knowledge Exchange team. Lean management techniques have been introduced with some success. AHDB are entering the final months of a program of work and judge it's time to start talking about the progress and the achievements. Without giving the game away, pig farmers are improving labor efficiencies and saving money by stepping back and looking at things with fresh eyes, using proven lean management techniques to find more efficient ways of working. Improvements often relate to the simple things. Some of the simplest changes are already making a massive difference and achieving savings which over time add up without compromising performance. With me today is Andrew Palmer, Knowledge Exchange Relationship Manager at AHDB. Andrew is leading on the delivery of the Lean Management Programme, and Lean Management Consultant Neil Fedden also joins us. Neil is from Fedden USP Limited. Let's start with you, Neil, if I may. Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for sparing the time. Explain a little bit, if you would, about what exactly Lean is.
Yeah, thank you, John. Yeah, lean, essentially, it's looking at all the processes within business and analysing those processes and looking where waste can be eliminated as much as possible. Like you said, it's looking at the very simple things, looking at those wastes that occur on a daily basis and thinking through and involving as many members of staff as possible to think about how they can be improved and reduced.
Okay, so Andrew, you're at the coalface, you're the one talking to farmers, you're in the Knowledge Exchange team and you're leading on this initiative. Why did you want to introduce lean management?
Thank you, John. I think it was something different we wanted to try and bring as a KE Knowledge Exchange, you know, what the team could deliver on the ground. I mean, traditionally, we always used to go work with farmers about improving performance, about routines, etc. And we just wanted to bring something different to the management style of a particular unit. Now, lean traditionally has always been used in large corporate manufacturing businesses. Automotive industry is a prime example of it. And it was just something that we just thought we'd have a look at, see if it could work and whether we could adopt it onto pig farms. And then we started looking at this in late 2020, early 2021, when the whole team took on training into lean. And we've learned some wonderful terms and technologies and tools, etc. And then we start thinking, well, how are we going to get this on the pig farm? One of the first to stand back and say, is this going to work on a biological production system? But that was, I won't say an excuse, but that was something it was using as a bit of a barrier, because really the biological part of the production system is only a small part of the whole process. You know, there's other processes involved on managing a business that we could adopt lean to. So that's where we started. And we started working with Neil and his partner, David, who was worked in the background a lot on the data analysis stuff. And it wasn't so much training for us, but also it is a little bit of training for Neil and David, his team as well, translating lean techniques into pig speak. And that was just as much as a learning experience for Neil as it was for us learning about the lean tech tools and techniques as well.
So Neil, this is, you know, obviously how you make your living. You are dealing with lots of industries and other organizations. And, you know, Andrew has highlighted sort of, you know, there's an issue in translating some of the techniques from one sector or one industry to another. What were the first steps that you took?
The first steps really were just to introduce people to the theory of what lean was, or how to analyze a process, how to identify the issues, how to prioritize the issues on what to work on first. And then basically from that, what we then moved to is getting people to actually try implementing those principles on their own business. So that way we can understand what would work and what wouldn't work. Then also to build confidence within the firms themselves that Lean could make a difference. And it's something that they could actually implement in a practical way within the pressures that they were having to work and face within the industry. So that was very much the second phase, was to get people trialing it and to start understanding how it worked in practice. And then the third stage, really, as Andrew mentioned, was to start collecting the data so we could understand where the big issues were within the business and what they were costing the business, so we could then focus the improvement activities on the things that were going to make the biggest difference, both financially and to the individuals that worked within the business. And we were very conscious as we went through this. We wanted to generate a business benefit, but we also wanted the individuals that were taking part to actually benefit from this as well. So hopefully make their lives easier and their jobs easier.
And when you were sort of initially introducing the concept, were pig farmers curious? Were they reluctant? What was the sort of initial reaction that you got?
I think there's always, I know it's healthy as well, I think a level of skepticism when you introduce a new concept, a new principle. But we very quickly move from the theory to the practice. And I think that's what convinces people when they start doing a waste walk, for example, and they start analysing a process that they do every single day, and then step back and look and start to see that there is actually some true savings and some true improvements that can be made to it. And I think that's what started to overcome that initial reluctance. And then we built from that, and we used that then as case studies to spread the word into other parts of the industry and the sector.
Okay, you used the phrase there, waste walk, and we'll come back to that again in a few minutes so that you can explain that in a little bit more detail. But Andrew, what were your initial thoughts then at the beginning of the programme?
I think once we'd done all the, I won't say training, but the theoretical side, as Neil said, I think we very quickly learnt was the practical side. You know, once we got onto farm and started working with the producers, and it wasn't just the guys, as you mentioned before, it involved the business owners as well. And that's probably been the key part and the big success of this whole programme. It's not everyone's involved in the whole process. It's not just a top-down instruction to the teams, we're going to change this going forward. Everyone's involved in the process. Everybody gets to have a say, because sometimes the best ideas come from the guy who's actually doing the job every day, you know, and everyone just assumes it's the right way that the job is done. And that was really, in the early part of the simple work we did, that was really apparent to see. And also, I think once we started to see the numbers involved in the savings and the efficiencies, and it wasn't just sometimes about saving money for the business, but more important for the stock people and the unit managers, it was improving their routines. They could see they started saving time at end of a day or during the day to start doing more what we call value-added work, which is, you know, the actual looking after the pigs, or the adding value to the actual pig final sale value. So, yeah, it's been a real eye-opener, and for all the team, everyone involved, and it's been enjoyable. It's been really enjoyable, and seeing the unit teams, as we say, get it, you know, what we call the light bulb moment, and they just understand it straight away. And you can already see when we have these workshops on farm, they're starting to thinking, we could have a look at that bit of our routine. We can go and have a look at that and go. And sometimes they always rein them back a little bit and just hold them back a little bit because they're getting ahead of themselves. So that's been really pleasing to see.
Neil, I would imagine working with different businesses means that you actually have to change your approach slightly. You've got to perhaps, you know, adapt the tools and techniques in order to fit the business in front of you. Just tell me a little bit about how different was that when you were working with a pig unit?
Yeah, we obviously working with pig units is different working with automotive companies. And I think, you know, when you've got something that's an organic process, something that's got a life cycle associated with it, you do need to adapt it. We use techniques called pull, whereby you pull the supply through. And that's a little bit difficult to do in the pig industry. So those techniques we didn't use because they directly apply to something that's got an organic life cycle. So what we picked out, the ones that we thought would make the biggest difference in the shortest period of time, which we mentioned earlier about waste walks. So we picked on the ones that we knew would definitely apply and used or to build confidence. And all a waste walk is getting the people that carry out the task to physically walk through the process and just break it down into minute detail. So, you know, how much distance is involved, how much time is involved. And by analysing and looking at that breakdown, starting to think through where they can actually save little small elements of time by eliminating waste. And then once we start to multiply that up and they start to see how often they're doing these tasks, they start to be surprised by how much time they're losing per year. And then that's what we use then to prioritise what are the things that we're going to work on that will give us the biggest payback within the shortest period of time.
Yeah, so it's about chunking up the work and getting it into sort of, you know, manageable bite-sized pieces, I guess, is the other way of saying that. So how have the monitor farms really sort of, you know, embraced the work and applying the principles that you've been talking to them about?
Yeah, I mean, from the waste walk, some typical things that have come out of it, they've been adapted straight away. The classic would be, you know, looking for a 13-millimetre spanner. You know, the time lost in a little simple little thing that actually breaks up the task that's involved, that you might only lose 15 minutes a day and probably goes unrecognised unless you identify it through a waste walk. But then when you multiply that by, it might happen 2-3 times a day, it might apply to several people on the farm, then all of a sudden you start to get quite sizable chunks of time. So what they've done, they've introduced shadow boards. So they have a board where they have all the tools they need and all the equipment they need to carry out the task. And that's actually positioned right next to where the task is taking place. So yep. It saves time for the individual and makes their life easier. But then it starts to free up capacity to do more value add, as Andrew was referring to earlier, which might be, you know, looking after the gilt management or looking after the weaners. So it frees up that capacity and that time to spend on where it will add value to the business.
And you go on from the smaller, perhaps the simpler tasks to some of the bigger projects. That's just sort of, I think, what you call the end-to-end value stream mapping.
Yeah, so waste walk is the first thing that we focused in on, which was to build the confidence and hopefully overcome that initial scepticism. The value stream mapping, as you suggest, it's looking at the full end-to-end process. So right from the very start of the business process through to completion, which is sending the finished product to the customer. And what we do as part of that, we look at all the finances. So we put on top of the value stream map all the finances for the business and all the KPIs, so all the key metrics that are involved within the business itself. And that starts to give us clues as where potentially the biggest savings are within the operation, so that as we then start to focus on where we're going to do the next waste walk, it starts to give us some guidance on where we should be looking within the business.
Okay, so that prompts me really to ask then, were there any big surprises, you know, working with pig farmers?
The surprises were a very pleasant surprise, the amount of data that we had available. In a lot of businesses that we go into, a lot of industries, the first thing we're going to do is spend quite a chunk of time actually collecting all that data. But because the data was readily available, we could jump straight in very quickly, sometimes within a day. We could get to what the core issues were within the business and then start guiding the farmers and the businesses themselves onto where they should be looking and what kind of things they can do to improve the business performance and profitability.
Okay, now, Andrew, pig farmers are obviously very focused on results. They've got a fairly quick turnaround. And I imagine what they're going to be saying is, well, give me some examples of successes then of these monitor farms. And, you know, how, if I use these tools and techniques, how's that going to change my business?
We've had some really impressive results. I mean, we've got 6 farms in the programme. And so far we have 4 farms that were up to a point of we can measure their full financial impact. And across the farms are already up to over £500,000, which is really staggering. And these were, you know, no disrespect to anyone listening, these weren't bad farms. You know, they were good businesses and we just found something different on every farm. Every farm's found something different. And it's been phenomenal, really. You know, the usual problems on pig farms regards to the outer spec pigs and things like that, but we've looked at, you know, and it was a simple realization that the nutritional program wasn't right. But it wasn't until we looked at the data, as Neil mentioned, you know, we found out what the actual cost that was for the outer spec pigs, You know, other ones, you know, the true cost of food waste from aging ad lib hoppers, etc. You know, we're constantly telling our farmers, look at the waste from your hoppers, you know, all this food being wasted and things like that. But as Neil says, once you actually put a cost to how much food has been wasted across over a year, and then you start, you put the cost into the new ad lib hoppers. And on one farm, for example, that cost of the new ad lib hoppers was paid back within, I think, just under a year sort of thing, like, you know. And then there's so many other little things we've done regards to, as Neil mentioned, the shadow boards for the farm maintenance programs. We've got a business involved, several farms, and they had a maintenance person on the farms, and the farms are waiting for this chap to come around and redo basic repairs. And what we quickly identified with these workshops we've done with the farms, well, if the farms had some basic sets of tools, they could do a lot of the repairs themselves, and we put a full cost to this. And it worked out that actually it was cheaper to provide a set of tools, because the downtime, the chaps were waiting for the repairman coming. You know, they couldn't fill a firing crate, they couldn't fill a wiener accommodation and stuff like that. So everything's, you know, we found lots of examples of, you know, as Neil said, the little stuff, and then we got into the big stuff regards to the cost of gilt production, gilt performance on a unit. You know, they've had a niggling back of the mind thought when our gilt production isn't quite right, and it wasn't until we put an actual number to that cost, should we say, of the gilt lower performance, and then the big numbers started coming out, you know, as an example.
Okay, so the big number that you gave me then, that headline figure, £500,000, let me just challenge you about that then in terms of how our listeners interpret that figure. So that £500,000 is straight to the bottom line, is it?
It's a combination of cost savings, but also improvements in business performance.
Okay, thanks for that. Neil, so let's just talk about this sort of working in collaboration with the pig industry and working with AHDB. For the listeners, do you think that from what you've seen so far, that every farm can benefit, and, you know, the examples that are being used for improving business performance and the, you know, both financial side of it as well as the efficiency side of it, do you think all farms would benefit from the application of lean?
Yeah, early indications indicate that's the case. The human brain's great at approximating what it sees. And quite often what you tend to find is if you're involved in doing a task on a daily basis or on a regular basis, you stop seeing the waste and the kind of waste that we identify within lean. And what lean really does, it gets you to step back and analyse the task and the process in a way that you've probably never viewed it before. And it codifies the waste. We have eight wastes that we typically identify within a process. So it's waste in its widest context. And those kind of things, and those kind of wastes, I think they apply to the majority of processes we come across ourselves in not only in our work life, within our home and our office lives. So definitely early indications do dictate and do indicate that it's definitely going to apply.
Andrew, what are the next steps?
The next steps were just in the final 3 to 4 months of some of the major projects on the farms involved, where we'll be able to get full financial review of the projects. And then it'll be up to the businesses or to change. But some of them are already changing, and which is really good to see, because they've seen the value of it. They've seen the simple steps, and now they work on some of the bigger stuff. And we continue to promote, showcase this work through our pig clubs and discussion groups, and also our engagement as a KA manager as well. You know, we're talking to farms. You know, we're already receiving one or two calls now from farmers not involved in the Monitor Farm program, asking about it, what's it all about, which is really encouraging to see, like, you know. So yeah, I think, I'm hoping it's here to stay for a long time to come.
Okay, so cascading information to pork sector levy payers, sharing good practice, primarily one of the functions of AHDB. And I know, Andrew, that there's a follow-on podcast being planned for the first quarter of the new year. But what other ways are we pushing the information out to farmers so they're aware of, you know, the opportunities that are presented through lean management?
The information, we've managed to build a very good lean page on our website. You know, we've got all the case studies on there now, you know, and we're already seeing some increased traffic from people looking at these, which is really good. We continue to do our work as the guys on the ground with the pick clubs and discussion groups and just general the face-to-face conversations we have when we're out with our levy payers. We talk about it, this piece of work, and there's a lot of interest out there at the moment. We'd like farmers to have a look at it, make a judgment call, and if they really would like to engage with it, come and see us and we'll see what we can do in regards to helping them out with it.
And as always, there's lots of information on the AHDB website, ahdb.org.uk. Thank you to my guests, Neil and Andrew. If you've got any comments about this podcast, or you would like to be a guest because you've got something of interest to say to levy payers, or you just want to suggest a topic for a future episode, please get in touch. You can email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk. AHDB really do want to hear from you. This podcast was researched and produced by Sheila Kennedy and edited by Dami Oinlola. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.